God keeps his promises, and if he has to destroy evil to keep the promises that he made that are good, he's going to do that because he loves us. I mean, he didn't want that evil. That's not why he made man. It made his heart break, I think. I can't imagine what he must have felt when he saw it just get worse and worse and worse.
We'll talk about this and much more today. Welcome to a Writer's Day podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a Writer's Day podcast. My name is Ruth Douthit, and I'm so happy to have you here, where we talk about all things writing, and I get to interview amazing best-selling authors. So welcome. And if you like what you hear, make sure you follow or subscribe to my podcast and go to my website, artbyruth.com, to learn more about my upcoming book projects, view my artwork, and also you can download a free PDF copy of my award-winning book, The Road to Home. And when you sign up for my newsletter, you can be in the running for a free book. That's right, I give away a free book every month, and I'll be giving away books that you've heard, you know, by authors you've heard here on my podcast, by like authors Lynette Eason and Patricia Bradley and Sarah Sundin, and upcoming authors like Lynn Blackburn and Ara Bartels. So make sure you sign up for my newsletter today to win amazing books. She is the best-selling and award-winning author of the biblical fiction series The Wives of King David, The Wives of the Patriarchs, and The Daughters of the Promised Land. Jill Eileen Smith is amazing. Her research has taken her from the Bible to Israel, and she particularly enjoys learning how women lived in biblical times. And that's why I'm glad she's here to talk about her newest book, The Ark and the Dove, which takes us aboard Noah's Ark to see how the women lived. So you know the drill. Grab your favorite beverage, a comfortable chair, kick back and relax as we listen to Jill Eileen Smith talk about her new book, The Ark and the Dove. Welcome back, Jill.
Well, thanks for having me. It was so nice to be invited.
Yeah, of course. And it was about a year ago that we talked about your last book. So this is kind of nice that your new book is out. But first, why don't you tell us what you've been up to? How did your 2023 year end for you?
Oh, my. You're asking me to remember a whole year.
Just the highlights.
Just the highlights. Okay. Oh, gee. It was a very, very, I was writing another book, and I would say I made a big, huge, well, I would call it a huge mistake in asking for less time, believe it or not. I mean, who does that, right?
Yeah.
I was supposed to have a deadline to turn it in this coming March, and I said, oh, but I want to go back to December. That's what I used to have before I did more than one book a year. But I didn't realize how hard that book would be to write because I was moving from Old to New Testament.
Oh.
And I had to really figure out how to mesh the four Gospels in a way that I could create it around her story. It was only her point of view. And so I struggled. And I actually asked, could I come a little later? Let's do January. So they said, no problem. And I had COVID over Christmas. So did my husband. Aww. Not bad, but I worked all through Christmas except for those couple days, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, we went to see one of our kids and babysat our granddaughter for it was more than a week. It was so fun.
Aww.
So yeah, we have good memories and memories that I can't remember.
Yeah, the ups and downs, but it sounds like a busy year.
It was very busy. We did take a few trips and, small ones, but this year I hope to do a little bit more. And it just was a lot to do with the book because of its intensity of trying to I mean, I'm sure you're aware in talking to other authors and everything with writing that you're aware of that you aren't just doing one book at a time. It's like one's gotten turned in, one's getting edited, one's getting page proofs while you're still trying to research write the other one. And then, and that's where we're at right now. I'm doing interviews for the one releasing, researching the next one. So I'm kind of in a chill zone right now because I'm researching, pondering. I love this part. I get to take a while to do that. And once I start having to write it, that's the tough part. So
Well,
anyway.
that's why I call this podcast a writer's day, because our day is so different.
I know.
We're
It's
either writing a story, planning a story, or just pondering a story, right?
or editing a story, right? Or writing a newsletter or doing social media for the book and or for everything else under the sun. So yeah, it's
Writer's day is crazy.
it people don't I mean, I don't mean to sound like, oh, my job is so bad. I don't understand other people's jobs. So everybody has their own challenges. I think that unless you're in those shoes, no matter who you are, you don't understand someone else's situation. So, it's just different. You're not retired. You work from home. You've got flexibility, but you don't. So, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, comes it is different. A lot of people tend to romanticize it and think, oh, if I just get that book contract, then everything will be great. Well, the book contract also brings a lot of work.
It was more stress relieving before the book contracts, but I'm really grateful for the contracts. I don't know what's coming after this one because I don't have ideas yet, and we haven't talked that far, but I have two more books to write after the one I just turned in.
Wow.
So
Well, I know that your readers are very grateful for all your pondering and stress and everything, because they love your books.
Yeah, it's a stress part I could do without, so
Well,
but couldn't we all?
let's talk about this new book, The Ark and the Dove. Do you want to provide a summary of this amazing story?
I'm a story, two stories beyond it now, but I'll try. Basically, it's a story of Noah and his family. Noah's wife, Emzara, is the main, I would call her the main character, but not the only point of view. I try to explore the points of view of No Emzara, his Noah's wife, and the wives of his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so that was challenging. I gave them names based on some things I found in research. Well, we'd gone to the Ark Encounter, so I bought some books for research there, and that they name her Emzara, so I kept that. They also have Ham's wife, I think, as Kezia, but I add the H, I think. I'm going by memory. And the other two I had gotten from some other source, and I don't remember if it was from one of the books or online. But I had a different source. In fact, when I wrote one of my nonfiction books, I had done Noah's wife and given her a different name because I didn't know back then that Emzara was actually the name that was kind of in history that they went with. It was one of the names. Honestly, depending on the culture, she could have been, I think it was Naama and some others, but I'd pick something completely different just because I didn't think she had a name, but that was a different book. This book, I decided, no, let's go with a little more research and history. And I mean, I was more nonfiction on those, so it was different. But I explore what it was like before Noah's told to build the ark, as the world's getting worse and worse and worse as they're building the ark, while the year on the ark, after the ark, all the way up to the Tower of Babel. So it's a pretty extensive, but it really isn't that many years when you think about it. Because they were doing, I mean, it was a lot of years went by in preparation for the ark. So yeah, we do a lot of time kind of jumping there. And there's time jumping after because they lived so long. But during that year on the ark, that's also quite a bit of the book. So yeah, it was just to give an idea what would it have been like. You know, I always like to imagine that. So
So what drew you to this particular story? Was it a movie or the Ark visit that you went to, or?
I think it's just that something that it's always intrigued people. I mean, I
Yeah,
remember
that's true.
watching, I've watched a movie from Hollywood on Noah's Ark a number of years ago, and I critiqued it on my blog actually, because they got a few couple things possibly right. And I didn't want to discount that they got it all wrong, because I'm kind of critical when it comes to biblical accuracy as much as possible, even though I give creative license, you know, because obviously we have to, it's fiction. But they went a little farther than they should have with their creative license, and they didn't keep to the accuracy of the story. Because if you go to the Ark encounter, they really researched how the dimensions of the Ark, how, and they imagined how all of this could have, they could have survived. I mean, where do they get air? Where do they get water? Where do they get light? You know, how do they get rid of waste? And how do they take care of all these animals? And it was fascinating. But of course, that you can't make a novel out of what they've done. Theirs is more like a science book. Mine is a story of the people and what they went through. But you have to know what they were dealing with. And I don't know, the motivation was just, I always wanted to do Eve, and I thought that Noah's wife was a good follow-up.
That's true, yeah. So that is interesting because a lot of people would want to focus on Noah, but you're focusing on his wife and the other women, the daughters-in-law. Yeah, that's neat
Well,
though.
that's kind of the way most readers, I was told years and years ago before I was ever published, all my books had male leads. I raised three sons, you know, I was in a household of men, even the cats were male. I mean, I didn't have female leads, and I was a hard sell, and I was having a real hard time breaking in. And once I figured out more how to write well and switch to female leads, that's when
That
I,
was it,
and so you
right?
really, though Joseph's story, The Prince and the Prodigal, is a male lead. And I do have Solomon is in the Heart of a King. He's the male lead, really. But every other book's about women. And you just, that's the popularity, I think, is these women are, especially in that culture, they were so undervalued. And Jesus liberated so much of the Old Testament thinking that wasn't even biblical. But I mean, God's always been protective of women. He made provision in the law for them. I know it seems like sometimes you read the law and go, well, they still seem like second-class citizens. But in God's eyes, I don't believe that. He made the promise through a woman, Eve, that he would send the Savior, and she, it would come through a woman. He sent the Savior, Jesus, to a teenage girl in Nazareth. He was a woman was the first person he told who saw him rise from the dead. A woman was the first person he told, I'm the Messiah. He really raised the bar from that culture. And so I wanted to explore a lot of the what it was like for women first in Old Testament times, and now I'm enjoying the New Testament. So,
Well, I think a lot of your readers want that. They want to know what you think the woman's perspective is. I mean, I was drawn to it just reading about your book. I thought, think of the hardship that the women had on that boat.
yeah.
I mean, they were still having to do their regular chores and duties and such, but because they were, submitting to their husbands and everything, I think it is a fascinating point of view for your readers, you know.
Yeah, I hope they like it. It's I it was a lot to explore because I think I restarted it over a couple of times, but I do that. You know, I rewrite, 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 and until I finally get it figured out. But hopefully it came out okay. I don't know. We'll see when the reviews come out. But so far people seem to like it that have read it
Course, of
ahead of
course.
time.
Now, the conflict you added to the story, I mean, it wasn't just like the animals fighting or something. You added conflict between the relationships, the husbands and their wives. How was that? Adding that conflict, how did you handle that?
Well, I mean, if there's, we hate conflict in our own life, right? Mm-hmm. But if there isn't one in a book, in a story, we're not going to watch it. We're not going to read it. It's boring. Mm-hmm. We want conflict, but not in our own personal lives. So I had to go, well, we do have conflict in our personal lives. So where would the conflict have been? And I think the women, you put women together, you got four women in a boat for a year, and there's three floors to that boat, and it's huge, but there's a lot of animals, and there's daily chores, and you're closed in, and there's no sun, and can you imagine?
No, and not even. And I the think, hormones, too, because they're all childbearing age.
Oh, yeah, except for Zara.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right, all those hormones.
exactly. And we don't know if they were all true believers. The Bible only, well, the Bible only says that Noah was righteous. God included his whole family. And as we see later, Ham went the way of, if you follow his genealogy, which is fascinating, you see Canaan, you see Egypt, all those areas south of the Israel and the Middle East area, that's Ham, descendants of Ham.
Wow.
You take Japheth, and we think he went more like Europe, north, whatever, and Shem is where the Jews' line came through. And I'm not sure if any other people's, but pretty fascinating. The wives, I would think, would have influenced the husbands to some degree and been influenced by the husbands, because I think women have a whole lot more influence over their men than we realize in most cultures. Maybe that culture, I'm not sure. In some cultures today, no, they're second class citizens for sure. Back in Noah's day, though, it was like at the time of Christ, because Jesus says it as it was in the days of Noah. Well, when he comes back, they're going to be acting normal, just like giving in marriage and partying and doing everything. It was a very corrupt society. We can't, it's not hard to imagine right now, right? We live in a corrupt society and a world that's falling apart. Well, that was Noah's day. And it was maybe worse, maybe not worse. I'm not sure, because I bring out the unseen world in Eve's story and I continue it through Noah's a little bit with the Nephilim, the Watchers. That was essentially the demons. And we still have them around today. We just don't recognize them, or they... they want to make us either believe they don't exist and we don't pay attention to them, or we pay too much attention to them.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, you got to recognize the enemy for who he is, and you got to realize he's real, just like Jesus is real. Only Jesus is not his equal. Jesus is his God, and he's not willing to bow to God. And he doesn't want us to. So anyway, that's part of why the culture was so evil. And I think part of the reason God destroyed the world was because the demons intermarried or intermated with the humans and was corrupting God's image bearers. That's my take. I could be wrong, but that's my take on one of the reasons for the flood, not to mention the corruptness of men's hearts. You know, was the only evil all the time, according to Genesis. So
that's true.
Yes, I believe that part of the reason, not the entire reason, but part of the reason that before the flood could have been God wanting to create, get the human image bearers back to being human image bearers, because when there was the intermating with the demons, they corrupted the human race and couldn't be redeemed then, because demons can't be redeemed. Satan can't be redeemed. There wasn't given that option to angels who fell. There was to humans. So I think God was preserving humans so that he could save them, as he promised Eve in the first place. God keeps his promises. And if he has to destroy evil to keep the promises that he made that are good, he's going to do that because he loves us. I mean, he didn't want that evil. That's not why he made man. It made his heart break, I think. I can't imagine what he must have felt when he saw it just get worse and worse and worse, or how he feels today, because I don't like what I see. And,
I
you know,
agree. I mean, it says Jesus was a man of sorrows.
yeah,
And he was
I
well
mean,
acquainted, with grief. And I think that's because when he stepped foot on this earth,
yeah.
he saw what had become of this beautiful creation, and it was all because of sin.
I know
Ugh.
it. I'm looking out my window at a beautiful snowfall. We had the most gorgeous, when we get snow, it's gorgeous, you know, and he's still showing his beauty and creation all over the world. If people would just open their eyes and see, look at the stars, you know, you can't count them, not even with the best telescope on the planet. But God is after us. He wants our hearts because that's who he loves. He created this, yes, for our benefit, but he wants us. So, and he wanted those people back then. They didn't want him. Now, in the end, did anyone get saved other than those on the ark? I raised that question in the book too, so you'll have to read it to find out.
Okay,
not that
good
I
challenge.
answer it, but
Yeah,
yeah.
good challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
Yeah.
the Ark and the Dove sounds absolutely fascinating, and I can hardly wait to read it. And I know your readers are excited about it too. And you're going to be having a Facebook party event for the release of the book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's not the typical Facebook party I've done in the past where we go on Facebook page and answer questions and, you know, gifts are given out. This is an event. There'll be an event page. I'm not sure if it's held on the event page. I think so. Right now, Ravel's setting that up for me. Details will be in my newsletter and it'll be announced on social media, but there's going to be several prizes given out. We're going to play some games and it's going to last, I think, from 7 to 8 p.m. On the 27th, which is February 27th, which is the release day. So if you can come, it'd be great. Playing the games should be fun.
Sounds like it.
I've never done one, so I hope we do it. You know, I hope it's fun because I'm looking forward to it.
It will be. It'll be great. So
yeah.
So if they go to your website at JillEileenSmith.com, they can sign up for your newsletter and more
correct.
Information will be sent in that, correct?
Correct. I have not sent it yet because I don't have it all yet from Ravel, but I'm going to have it. And I'll probably write a blog about it. I'm not sure, but social media will definitely have a countdown and let people know. So
wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And Jill, thank you so much for coming on my podcast today to talk about this amazing story. And I wish you nothing but the best of success with it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a fun book. I hope that readers like it.
Wow, wasn't that great listening to Jill talk about her new book? The Ark and the Dove sounds fascinating, and I'm just always so impressed with all the research that she puts into her books. So make sure you go to her website and pre-order. You can go to Baker Books. They usually have a 40% off discount and free shipping and handling, so her book is available for pre-order right now. And make sure you sign up for her newsletter so you'll know more about the February 27th Facebook party. Woohoo! I hope that you've been encouraged to keep going over the obstacles that can come your way in your writing journey, because someone out there needs to read your story. And until next time, God bless.